When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, our daily podcast during this FIFA World Cup 2018 in Russia.
Very much so.
As they officially call it.
Yeah.
What did you like today, Andy?
Well, I liked the fact that we got back into it, so with a little bit of an opener. Lloyd Griffiths is out in Russia, so we had a chat with
him. He doesn't remember much about the game. You'll hear why.
That's good, really. Mm. We did touch a little bit on tennis, usual thing that I do, how much I hate Wimbledon. And we had clips of the month. That was good.
They were good, yeah.
And then the highlight of the show, I think, was Paul Whitehouse and Bob Mortimer coming in to talk about their new show on fishing. Of course, as you'd imagine, they were very funny.
So they were brilliant, yeah, and they talked football as well. So anyway, I hope you enjoy all of this. Seven minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul, and good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And I can always tell when it's been a very tense night.
Oh, yeah.
Because I go to the book and there's virtually no notes.
You've written nothing down
in
the
book. Virtually nothing down. It was just so exciting, wasn't it? And it's what a great way to win. What a sweet way that was to beat a team that really deserved nothing from the game. Their attitude was appalling. If they'd played a bit of football, Colombia, they might have got more out of the game. It was a strange approach to the match.
It was a bit of an odd decision. I had a bit of a weird moment, though, and it's the sort of thing you think never really happens. We had a power cut during the penalties. We had a power surge the skybox down.
Yeah.
And it was just as who took the decisive penalty and missed that pen. I'm trying to think of his name now.
Uribe
hit the bar. He's just running up. I see it's going high, and I'm hoping it's going over, but then we lose all power. So me and my son and wife rushing around trying to find like an iPad just to stick the old ITV player on. We finally get it back on, just to see Kieran Trippier stick it in the top corner. The skybox is like reinitializing itself. That's going to take sort of 5 minutes. So all bets are off. And so we see the penalties. But that moment, it was like, we leapt into action.
We had a similar thing though at our place. Sue fused all the lights on 67 minutes.
Oh dear.
So we lost power, had to sort of try and sort it out. And then, of course, then the same thing with the Skybox 3. So I switched immediately to Jim, who had a wonderful match commentating last night. And so I switched to him. And then we got the pictures back just in time to see the penalty and all the ensuing nonsense from Colombia. I mean, what on earth were they doing? And the referee, why did he just stand there? And we're going to talk to Mark Clattenburg about this. He should have just got his yellow card down and started brandishing them. That's what you do, don't you?
You brandish it. You brandish cards, don't you? That's right. What else do you brandish?
You
really do.
You don't.
Not much else. You don't brandish in any other walk of life, do you?
That's true. And the only note I did have about any of the players was this. Mojica, who plays for his left sided player for Colombia. His children are all girls. I don't know if you know this, actually.
So that makes him what?
Oh, it's the end of the family line. Yes, he's the last. Thank you.
Yeah. He's the last. I thought he might be.
He might be, yeah. You knew it was coming. So that was it. Everything else was just too tense. And how could they not that be a red card and all that sort of stuff?
So, we're going to have a chat with Mark Clattenburg about that a little bit later on.
I did like this letter, though, to The Sun yesterday. It said, tonight's game, this is ahead of the match yesterday, tonight's game is not just settling a result between two football teams. It's answering the age-old question of tea versus coffee. What age-old question? Will the old-fashioned English cuppa prevail over dry-roasted Colombian coffee?
That's not the angle I was going for.
Not
when I was watching
Who's ever asked that? I mean, can't you like both?
I think you can.
I never think it's a competition between the two beverages.
I think you should embrace both, Andy. I'd say so. Definitely.
Definitely.
Some interesting stats coming out of the World Cup. I don't know if you saw these. Mm. Most fouled player at the World Cup. Do you see that? He's got a point. No wonder he's always rolling about.
Neymar.
Yeah, Neymar. Oh, 23. Right. Okay. Isco was next. Messi was 16. Also in the mix, Eid Nazar, but he's always quite heavily fouled, isn't he? But Neymar, 23 fouls against him. The most fouls conceded by a player was Mascherano, who conceded 15, but he won't be doing that anymore. A couple of the Russians are in there, including Golovin, which is an odd one, considering, really. He's 12 fouls committed by him.
By him?
Yeah,
oh, really?
That's okay, right. Most fouls conceded. So what about that?
Wow. And
only one simulation yellow at the World
Golovin,
Cup.
Golovin, of course, linked with Chelsea. And, of course, you mentioned Hazard there. And I spoke to Pat Nevin last week. He assured me he felt that the Chelsea would definitely... The announcement was imminent, but it's still not happened. And players come back to pre-season. And I reckon Bruce Buck will be taking pre-season training, the chairman.
Well, that'd be very interesting. You see him in a tracksuit. Imagine Joe Hart, who's got to go back to City for pre-season training. He's got that's going to be a bit eggy, isn't it?
You've got to sort it out, haven't you, these things?
That's right. Still got a year left on the contract, so I suppose he has to rock up and do his fitness work and do everything else. I wonder who he'll train with. He probably won't train with the first team. It can't be easy, can it?
No, I wouldn't have thought
Spare a thought for him watching the Pens last night.
I'll tell you what I did, like anybody that travels away on business, you have expenses, you have receipts and everything. You've got to get them all in order and present them to the company, and hopefully, you know, you've done it properly and everything will be passed. So I was going, mine weren't helped though. I decided to do it on Monday. I thought I'd get it out of the way by actually washing my wallet with all the receipts in it.
Well, it's always nice to start. You return to the UK with a clean wallet.
It was in some trousers, shorts though.
Did you not go through the pockets, Andy?
Well, I thought I had, and obviously I hadn't.
I mean, it's not like it was one slip of paper or a tissue. It was a whole wallet, mate. You're not going to be a great deal of sympathy.
Anyway,
for
but all the they were all basically once you dried them out. They
let's
were
ask
fine.
The listeners. It's not, look, we've just we're heading for the quarterfinals of the World Cup, so it seems perfect to ask you today. What did you wash? But we do want some football stuff from you as well. If you had a similar moment, sporting moment when power was lost, or reasons maybe why you couldn't watch the
Brighton
Pens
Beach,
last night.
Same thing happened on Brighton
really?
Beach. The big screen went, yes. The people had to scramble around to pubs.
So key moments in sport when, for whatever reason, the picture went. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and Jan. And he washed a whole wallet. Not one or two receipts, a whole wallet. And I've seen his wallet. It's massive. So he's minted. So
didn't have any money in it.
So anyway, just receipts.
Well, receipts and credit cards.
Okay, fair enough. Well, they could dump the clean anyway. So there we are. Let us know. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J. It's very exciting, isn't it? And I watched much like we saw Sweden in the flesh last week against Germany. We felt for them that night, really. They were very unlucky to get done right in the final
difficult.
Second.
They're going to be a difficult team.
They're dogged. They're like the Japanese, aren't they?
I mean, in that game, who did they play in the last? Switzerland.
Switzerland, yeah.
They had loads of chances. They should have had that game sewn up. So I hope they play like that against us.
But, you know, you would look at that. You'd look at that performance. You look at the one we saw and you think, really, if England are on song, they should beat them. We know it's a big if, but they should do.
England have looked good in the first 25-30 minutes of matches, and if they do what they did against Panama, if they get a couple of goals, that's fine. If they don't, then it could be a long night, could easily be a 1-1 typical Sweden-England game, I think. But we'll see.
I do feel for Raheem Sterling at the moment. I just feel everything he's trying is not quite coming off, but he's going to die trying. He keeps working.
Yeah, but he still gives you something by trying all the time. I know what you're saying.
He gets intercepted, a shot gets blocked. He just needs a little bit of luck to go his way.
He's still part of that nice tip-tappy football that we're playing, you know, that one-touch football, and he's a big part of that. So I think he has to play, and just hopefully he'll hit his, you know, straps at the right time.
But, you know, I'm of a mind to... I know there's been a few people saying, oh, should they make changes? But I would persevere, because I just get a feeling he's going to come right from him. And when it does...
He'll be
very important for us. But we'll see.
This is the moment. It's Eric Dier against David Ospina.
Yeah! Eric Dier wins the shootout. England have won a shootout. Ghosts are exorcised. England are in the World Cup quarterfinal.
Oh, yeah, brilliant stuff from Jim there.
Yeah, top work by our team. And jumping up and down all the small amount of England fans, heavily outnumbered by the Colombians, was friend of the show, Soccer AM presenter, comedian, Grimsby fan, Lloyd Griffith. Hi, Lloyd.
Oh yeah,
we're good, Lloyd. We're good. What a night to be in the stadium.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, obviously outnumbered by the Colombians. They were very vocal. But it just made for an amazing atmosphere, and the England lads, we sang our hearts out the whole time, and it was a result we wanted, wasn't it?
Indeed.
Where were you in the stand? Were you behind Jordan Pickford or at the other end?
So I was in behind Jordan Pickford for the first half, and then second half we were behind the goal for the penalty. And then I've got no idea which... where the penalties were, because I was a bit drunk by that point.
Now,
it was a friend genuinely asked, were you at the penalties end? And I was like, oh, I'll have to consult someone because I can't remember. Yeah. Oh, I'm condoning it, but you know, it's nice to have a beer. And, you know.
Yeah, of course. So I presume you're having a lovely time. We've just got back, and tell us a bit about your journey so far.
I'm doing a job for a TV company called Hisense. They're one of the main partners of the World Cup. And we're doing a thing called the Road to Russia. So we've basically gone from Madrid to Paris, London, Berlin. And then we've driven to Russia. They're in St. Petersburg. But me and the guy that's editing all the stuff, he's Colombian. So me and him got a ticket and went. And he hasn't spoken to me all day.
They're not surprising, really.
Yeah,
I know you're fascinated by the cult of the goalkeeper. You are a goalkeeper. Goalkeeping is very much a part of your life, your podcast, and everything. So I've got some goalkeeping tips for you.
Go on.
The Tretikov Gallery has, because the goalkeeper has an important role in Russian life, in Russian sporting life, probably because of Lev Yashin. Yep. But even before that, there are two famous goalkeeping-based paintings you have to seek out. There's an official cap with a sort of Lev Yashin on it. You'll love that. And also the new 200 ruble note. Now, the 100 ruble note has exactly the same action that Akinfeev did to save their penalty. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Absolutely incredible. So there are some goalkeeping things.
And
for you
should actually also pay homage, Lloyd, down at Dynamo Moscow Stadium. There's a metro there that will get you right outside. Walk down to the park, which is, if you're looking at the stadium, just on the right-hand side, and there's a brilliant Lev Yashin statue. So I think you should go there and doff your goalkeeper's cap to Lev.
Well, I mean, I wish I'd known all that this morning, because I'm in the airport and my flight got cancelled, so I've just been sat here for 5 hours. So I could have done with that today.
You'll be back for the final, though, won't you?
Back for the semi-final and also for the final, yeah. So I'm going to the final. I just need to get me grubby little... on a semi-final ticket. So this is actually me putting a play out there. If you'd like to slide into my DMs if you've got a semi-final ticket, and I'll look after you.
I'll buy any spares. The other thing was having a drink in the ground, having a beer with, you know, we've kind of obviously forgot. It's a whole generation of people who've never done that. So
it's obviously amazing, but then also it does have the counter problem of not remembering the only time England have won a penalty shootout in the World Cup. But it's just a weird, you forget that when you get there, you're like, I can have a beer. And it's just, it's relaxing. I mean, it's like the rugby or the cricket.
Yeah. Mm. And I didn't see any trouble in the stadiums. I saw some pretty boisterous Russian fans. They were properly getting stuck in, but they were all behaving themselves. I've not really seen any trouble because of it.
No, it's been, do you know what? Everyone's been absolutely lovely, apart from the person that Aeroflot when they cancelled our flight today. But everybody has been absolutely lovely. And they'll say, like, we were outnumbered. There were so many Colombians there last night. But there was no violence. Everyone was, like, you know, chummy, and England fans were all jovial and stuff. So, yeah, it was really good. It's definitely a game to remember, the bits that can.
Yeah. And in terms of the pens, until the save, I mean, he was finding it quite hard going, Jordan Pickford. He wasn't getting close to that many of them. We can't knock him for that because they were good pens. But the one it mattered, he got there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I mean, that obviously we had a bit of a masterclass from the Russian goalkeepers. Now I can't remember that save against Spain was insane. But Pickford, I mean, you just got to back him. I know, you know, obviously there was a bit. I think Thibaut Courtois gave him a little bit of criticism, saying he wasn't tall enough in the last few days. And but I mean, that long range shot.
What a save that was
last night!
Absolutely incredible,
absolutely amazing. And but you know. He was speaking to last week at a footballer, and he was saying, with a goalkeeper, you're a hero when you're taking penalties, because if you let them in, you let them in. But if you save them, then you're automatically a hero. And Pickford stated his claim for a heroic
I think the alcohol has basically status. Killed many of your brain cells today.
Heroes status. But we do appreciate you joining
you
us.
You do, that's right.
How can I not remember the word status?
you probably won't remember this. He said, I haven't spoken to Hawksby and Jacobs on this tour, about 5 minutes' time. So, look, but good to talk to you. We'll hopefully catch up with you later on the trip. All the best, Lloyd. Thanks.
Yeah, Jeff, take care.
Lloyd Griffith who's at the airport there. Doesn't remember much of last night by the sound of it.
I just wonder, I mean, I don't know how you felt, but when Henderson missed that penalty, I just wonder what, I reckon about 97% of English people thought that's it. We've seen this before.
Yeah, because, well, you're conditioned to, aren't you?
One out of seven.
And it wasn't a bad pen, it was a great save. I mean, you know, it was an excellent stop, wasn't it, by Ospina?
Yeah, it was a good save, it was. But you just thought, oh, it's all up. We've seen it all before. We're so conditioned to it. Yeah. So it made it even sweeter, didn't it, to turn it around like that. And win it. It was just brilliant, brilliant moment.
I'm listening to Stuart this morning. Took me back. I was at the Spain game in Euro '96, and that sort of redemption moment for him when he scored that pen. So, you could hear last night in commentary and after the game. After the game, a few deep breaths. Took the dog for a walk. Listening to Jim and Sags and Stuart after the match, you could hear it in Stuart, very excited, as are all the England boys. Gary Lineker admitted he was in tears last night. And I watched the Beeb highlights.
We actually won a game on ITV, Martin Kellner brilliantly at the start of extra time said, if ITV had a shred of patriotism, they'd hand extra time over to the BBC. Which I thought was about right.
Unlikely to happen. Some people couldn't even watch it. Greg says, I put Taskmaster on, boys. I couldn't sit through the pens. I recorded them on the off chance. Couldn't watch it. Andy Holmes said, I didn't quite have a power cut like you did, Paul, but my 3-year-old daughter opened her door yelling downstairs she needed a wee. So I, for one, was quite grateful for the Colombian delaying tactics. I still got to see Harry Kane's pen at that point.
That's good.
Farrell was watching in the summer house. Oh, la-di-da.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, suddenly on our old TV... And the yellow went in the picture. So he said, Colombia were basically wearing white and everybody else looked really tanned, he said. So thanks for those. Those key moments.
More of those. Brilliant.
A power cut just as one of the key penalties was taken, the Colombian penalty that hit the bar. All I saw was him hit the ball and it was going upwards. I had no idea what happened till we scrambled around for an iPad. So
I had the same thing fused. Not quite at that point, but 67 minutes out for about 5 minutes. So definitely not good.
Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J. If you want to get in touch, tell us your stories. And Andy managed to wash all of his receipts from Russia. So this afternoon we are looking for some of the stuff. I mean, it's a massive wallet he's managed. It was massive wallet. So stuff you've managed to wash against all the odds. Yes, it is Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport, making a welcome return to the studio. Both Paul Whitehouse and Bob Mortimer this time together because they have a new TV show called Gone Fishing on the Beeb at the moment, and they'll be joining us. Ben Littleton will be here as well, penalty expert, author of 12 Yards, the ultimate work on the spot kick. He'll give his thoughts on last night's shootout. We'll have the clips of the month for you shortly as well. Got the TV figures. Mark Pugach from ITV has been tweeting them out. Do you know what they were?
22.4 million.
23.8.
23.8.
80% audience share. Highest TV share since Olympic closing ceremony 2012. There was a 1 minute peak, 24.4 million for the Dyer penalty. Highest peak for live sports since England-Portugal at Euro 2004. So, not surprisingly, whole nation were glued to it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well done to everybody and well done to all our guys as well out there. Big news, though, here at the Hawksby and Jacobs Gallery is that the Talkie fixtures are out.
Yeah, our producer. That's the big news for him today. Never mind the World Cup in England in a quarter-final. It's at Talkie's conference. Southern are out.
He's already looking at the last day of the season at Chelmsford.
Last day of the season is St Albans.
I'll be joining him for that one. Oh, Chelmsford's the first game.
Chelmsford's where it all kicks off.
Oh, yes. St Albans the last game.
Very exciting,
in case they need that one to stay up. So, exciting news there.
I think you'll find that might be a promotion partly. Jamie Vardy's having an injection in his groin. Doesn't look quite as good or sound quite as good as a little Jamie Vardy having a scan. Doesn't really work either.
Not really.
Let's hope he's all right.
Of course.
You can tell he was brought on really just to bring some legs on to pin them back. I don't think he was necessarily brought on for the extra time, was he? And he sounds like he picked up a bit of a knock early on.
Yeah, the penalty. He's a great penalty taker, so it was a bit of a
blow. And he
would
have put that away, yeah.
He would, but anyway,
He
wasn't needed.
The player that beat you at darts, Eric Dyer, did the business.
It may not have escaped your attention that it's Wimbledon. And
well, it almost has, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, who cares? And but a couple of things have caught my imagination. Viagra is being sold at Wimbledon. Tennis fans, yes, can get the perk-up pills, not my words, without prescription at the pharmacy at court number one for £23.99 each. Right. Blimey, that's more expensive than the strawberries.
I don't think it has a similar effect, though. That's the thing. It depends what your priorities are.
And it's that time of the year when I say, Ernst Gulbis, what's the point?
Yeah, it's like Simon Cowell on a jet ski. You say it every year, don't you?
Well, you know, he won his first round game. You know, he'll win a couple of games and then he'll meet somebody good and he'll go out. What's the point? Honestly, can't wait.
We just have that about any sport, Andy.
Oh, but he's never going to win it. He's not even going to get to the final. He probably makes about 10 million a year or something, being sort of average.
You sound a bit jealous now.
I am quite bitter about the whole thing.
Talking of that, Ernst Gulbis, what's the point? The good old Torquay, ever optimistic Torquay United, apart from putting all of their fixtures in the Southern Conference there, they've also put down the date of the FA Cup final. So one for the Torquay fans, just to, I'd say, put a light pencil. Put a light pencil on the FA. Not the trophy, you never know, do you?
Yeah, well,
but
you
just
never
put
know,
a
yeah.
light. Light pencil on the FA Cup final, because that would be a turn up, the Torquay turn up there.
That's true. Yeah. And one of the features, and a lot of companies, I won't name the person, but a lot of big companies, when they send a lot of employees abroad, they have a duty of care to them. And so they therefore have to be very careful that everybody's well briefed. We were fantastically well briefed, weren't we, before we went to Russia. Mm. And it was tremendous. But we did keep getting these warnings. And the one that particularly amused me was we were warned about a demonstration. That all our staff should stay away from this demonstration. Basically, it was a demonstration against the fact that the pension age was going to go up.
Mm.
You've got to watch those over 65s. I mean, oh, they can be quite lethal.
You get enough of them together. Anything can happen.
No TalkSport staff were hurt in this particular demonstration.
Well, we weren't there. We'd gone by. And then we'd left the country. We were helicoptering out. It's like the last chopper out of Saigon before the OAPs attacked
probably
us.
Probably was. And,
well, I mentioned I had a power cut last night when the gamers, and just as the penalties were unfolding, we're told by Andy, he says, watching France-Germany semi-final in 82 at a campsite in Brittany, storm rolls in and lightning knocks out power as final penalty taker steps up. Power comes on to French players in tears. That's never a bad thing. And Paul says, we lost our pitchers as we jumped up to celebrate Pedro Mendes' halfway line non-goal against Manchester United. My friend jumped on the remote, only to see that the goal was disallowed when the TV came back on. So, guys, thanks for those. Any other key moments you've missed and why, let us know. TalkSport.com/H&J, text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J. Should we have some clips?
Why not?
These are the clips of the month for June. And we're going to start with Sam Matterface, who took the call.
John is a Liverpool fan. Hello.
Steve, I'm
Hello, John.
Hello,
right?
John.
Hello.
B ham. We've worked out that it's, the missus was saying, what soup do you want? He's saying, pea and ham. And so he's shouting that because he's about to go on the radio. Well, that's what we think happened now, but it's a bit odd. What's next, then?
It's Ali McCoy sitting in for Alan Brazil on Breakfast, introducing a celebrity guest.
We are joined now by the infamous spoonbender, Yuri Geller. Good morning, Yuri. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning to you all the way from Israel, in Old Jaffa.
So he's obviously in his spaceship. He flew there in his spaceship. And did Yuri just say, I'm an Old Jaffa?
I think he did.
I don't know what he means by that.
He said, I'm in Old Jaffa, but it did sound like
I'm an Old Jaffa. Yeah. Don't be so hard on yourself, Yuri. Anyway, here's another TalkSport caller phoning into extra time.
David, the Villa fan, what do you want to say, mate?
Yeah, all I was going to say was, I'm surrounded by negativity for all the people. I can't actually speak, so carry on with your show.
We think drink had been taken. It was about 3 a.m, wasn't it? Yeah.
And let's see how the world's worst tourist, the Moose, is getting on with the other fans out in Russia.
Hey, I'm fan and bloke from Morocco. Hang on, just bear with me 2 seconds, boy. You're from Morocco?
China.
Thailand, okay.
China.
I thought he said China. Did he say Thailand?
No, he said China, didn't he?
I think no. He says, well, who knows?
But it's an easy mistake to make.
The Thais and the Chinese do have that very Moroccan look about them,
don't they?
They
do,
It's an easy mistake to make. So here's Alan Brazil. We're turning his attention to one of the Colombia players.
And it's curtains for Poland now, all right. Juan Cuadrado.
Well, Juan Cuadrado.
Pardon now?
Oh, Juan Cuadrado.
Well, I've got to be honest, there were a few points last night when I said something quite similar. Oh, Juan Cuadrado, of course. Juan.
No, not when he missed that great chance towards the end.
No, that's right. Exactly. So there we are. What was your favourite? You can vote this afternoon. We'll put them at TSHNJ. They'll be up to vote for your favourite. We'll give you a winner at 4 o'clock.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport and making a welcome return to the studio to tell us about their new show, Gone Fishing. Talk a bit of football. They've been here separately, but here they are together. It is Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse.
Guys, hello.
Good to see you.
Hi, very nice to be here.
This sounds good. It's fans of fishing and fishermen's blues.
We just come here for the aircon, haven't we, Bob?
Yeah, it's just to break down a bit. It's nice. We can keep it nice and cool.
Tell us a bit about this series, because it started while we were in Russia, so we haven't had a chance to catch up with
you. You mean you haven't watched it?
No, well, no, I feel bad now. We didn't know you were coming in until we got in today. We're delighted you're here.
But I watched it last night. I wouldn't have watched it.
About Bear River.
Is that it?
Messing about.
Really?
And do you know what, Paul? Yeah, that is it. the country looks beautiful, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially tonight. Tonight's episode we filmed in Derbyshire in the Peak District, which I'd never been to. Bob had never been to, and we've absolutely knocked out by it. It's the most beautiful, beautiful place. And what we try and do, as much as you know, sit around talking nothing or mucking about, is to show how beautiful England is. And we hope we've managed to do that, because it looks. Looks beautiful.
It's so stunning, doesn't
so
it?
So, Paul, you are a fisherman, aren't you? You have been for years. You're kind of into it.
I mean, Keith Arthur probably wouldn't say that I was, you know. I did go fishing with him once. Yeah. But he never asked me back.
Well, he is the sort of Maradona, isn't he?
Well, he is very much the Maradona up there with...
No, that's wrong.
No, well, he's the Ronaldo. His left hand, you know, when he can, yeah. When you're not looking, yeah.
But, Bob, you're a novice. You know, you'd not... You'd fished a bit as a kid.
Yeah, when you... Like we used to in the old days.
Yeah, everybody did. Buy
a rod from Woolworths and go to the local river. That's what you know, and I stopped when I was about 16.
Did you ever catch anything with that method, the Woolworths method?
I remember getting a little roach, tiny little roach, but it's kind of like I think the show that we've done shows, it's not about the fishing,
no,
it's about enjoying each other's company.
Woolworths has gone now,
That's right. You could buy to buy your net from there, didn't you? First basic rod. We probably used to go because you come from the same part of the world as me, we probably used to go fishing Pickett's Lock, catching gudgeon and bleak.
That's exactly what I did, up on the River Lee. And that's sometimes right. I'd go really far afield. I'd go as far as Chesant. I've even been to Broxbourne.
Wow, <where? laughs> you ride your bike along the towpath.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With sandwiches, jam sandwiches. Yeah.
And those fish sound dreary. Gudgeon and
bleak. What's called
not
bleak?
Gudgeon.
Bleak.
Bleak's like a tiny little thing, smaller than a dace.
And what about the gudgeon?
The gudgeon's like a mini barbel.
Well, I never.
Yeah, really.
Well, I never.
So you went as a kid, and did you quickly did the old thrill of catching that first fish all these years, and did you get the buzz from it, Bob?
Oh yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. It's like the show comes from like when I'd had heart problems, and Paul, to try and get me back involved with life, and that encouraged me to go fishing. So that's what we, you know, nothing to do with the TV show. Paul took me fishing.
Yeah, it was it's a real. I think that's probably why the show, people like the show, is because it's genuine. It's real. It's not a contrivance. You know,
yeah.
Bob, I'd had three stents. Bob thought he was going to have stents, but actually, when he went into hospital, they went too far gone, mister. Got out the circular saw.
Yeah.
Whoa!
And opened him up, and you had to have a triple bypass, yeah. Which obviously, you know, that's a much more serious. Operation, as Bob constantly reminds me.
This is what impresses me.
Showing off the war wounds. It's like Jaws, is it?
He does. He even gets his scar out.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah.
And so it came out of real life because I started taking Bob fishing and I thought, well, we better go soon because we talked about it.
We talked about it for years and years,
yeah,
didn't we?
And I thought, well, if we don't go soon, he might not make it. And that's how we punted it to the beam. I said, look, with a bit of luck. One of us might drop dead, and they went, we'll have that.
Yeah, that would sell that worldwide, they were probably. We're going to hear a little bit of the show now.
Oh, yeah, good.
Whoa! It's massive!
Shut up. Calm down. Bob, watch what you're doing. Gently. Not yet. Just bring him back up to the surface. Bring him back up.
Can't wind it.
Gently. You don't need to wind it. Don't wind it.
Are you sure? Because I've...
Don't wind it. And there we go. Whoa!
Hey! In your face!
Look at that! What a privilege, Bob, to have caught that.
You put him back nice because he's my mate now.
He certainly is your mate, isn't he?
Superb.
There we go.
There he goes.
I just hold him there for a bit, and there he goes.
Yeah, Bobby, you're saying that was a barbel you caught there.
Yeah, barbell, I mean, you know, lost a bit without the pictures there. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
About 3 inches long.
Could have been an old bike, couldn't it? You were chucking back in. Yeah, yeah.
It's on, Paul, because that makes it sound like quite an exciting show, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's the exact opposite.
Most of the time it is us sitting very there quite silent. You see a tree, a bit of river. He says, say powerful in a Mexican accent.
Yeah.
And I go...
And I enjoy that, and we continue fishing.
Yeah,
because it's like that fishing, isn't it? It's hours of sitting there and then moments of sort of intense action.
Yeah, I've got a humorous quotation or aphorism about that. I say it's a long hours of intense boredom punctuated by short, sharp periods of really intense boredom. You see what I did there?
Yeah, it's good.
I think it's funny. Nobody else does.
Other people talking about
anything. Other,
I do. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Other people.
I do know. So I do laugh too much. I was listening to one of the.
You
podcasts.
Laugh too
I
much.
I do laugh too much. I've got to stop laughing.
Are you the longest serving talk sporter?
Adrian Durham probably, and Adam Brazil, I would say probably.
Really?
I think we've all been on around the same sort of 18-year mark.
Wow. Yeah. Still getting away with it.
18 years of laughter for you, though.
Apparently, that's all gone now.
I'll try not to laugh at that, Bob. That's a good way of looking at it.
He's trying not to laugh. So, kind of people talking about fishing when other people aren't involved in fishing. You incorporated that, of course, into... Oldest game in the world, didn't you? One of your characters from the Fire Show.
The oldest game in the world. 25 years, man and boy. I was a pugilist. Oh, yeah. I've had Ali on the ropes. Joe Bugner caught him with a left hook, put him down. God damn, he murdered me.
And he went to a little bit of fishing, wouldn't he? Caught a barbel last week.
Yeah, got a barbel last week. Stan got nothing.
Yeah. But do you find yourself doing that, Bob? You're sitting there now going home with the family and sort of talking about fishing all of a sudden and looking at their watch.
I reckon it's taken over from football. You know, was my topic of choice at the moment.
Well,
but talking of football,
my
wife loves the show. Yeah,
you know, we're going to talk about football. We'll stay with fishing. Just
as no, told you, he loves fishing.
I love fishing.
Oh, do you fish, Andy?
Well, no, I don't. But I've listened to so many Fisherman's Blues over the years.
You feel like?
I feel like I could go out there and I'd be.
Well, you'll have to come with us sometime.
Yeah. What about the kit, though? I mean, it's a bit like golf, isn't it? In as much as you've got. Clubs and
equipment. If you're not careful, you could go silly. I mean, most they say that, you know, most fishing gear is there to catch fishermen, not fish. You know, all the gear, no idea. You know, if you're not careful, you can spend a lot of money on it. Yeah.
So you were well equipped. What about you, Bob? Did you have to go out and buy some
stuff? In the first show, I brought along my old Woolworths blue fiberglass.
Bright blue.
Beautiful.
Really blended in with the
country.
And I had a go.
You brought a tent pole as well.
I thought it was a rod. Yeah.
And we put it together. It's like, this is a tent pole.
It was long and thin. So
no eyes on it.
It was something to do with fishing.
Oh, wow. Spearing.
Yeah, no, the equipment, I don't know how important it is or not. I'm a novice to it. It seems to me you put the bait in the river and wait and you get lucky, but I'm beginning to be aware there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, there is. We had a lot of help with some of the coarse fishing stuff from a guy called John Bailey, who is well known in angling circles. He really knows his stuff. And it was quite weird. I've never met John, but I've read lots of stuff of his over the years, and it was like meeting an old friend.
Yeah.
And we really gelled. In fact, we went out fishing with him, nothing to do with the show, and you've got a pike that grows about a pound a day.
I got a 32-pound pike.
It was 29, but every time Bob mentions it, it gets bigger.
Does size matter, Bob, when it comes to fishing? Do you find that you've got that barbell and you've obviously caught bigger fish since? I mean, is it more of a thrill catching a bigger fish, or is it just the fish?
I'm beginning to learn about this. Like, a sea trout I'm beginning to realise it's a magnificent thing just to have ever caught one.
Yeah.
And I was picking up on that, so I really enjoyed catching one of them. It wasn't to do with size.
You got quite attuned quite quickly. He said, shouldn't we be casting over there? And things. He picked up very quick, actually.
And were you all catch and release, or did you eat anything that you caught?
We put back everything except one quite dramatic fish I caught was a bass. I caught it on the last cast.
Wow.
A couple of fish we caught in the last cast, didn't we?
No one will believe
it will look like we've contrived it, but it's absolutely true. I caught this bass off the Needles, it's just off the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
And it was on the last cast we had, and it was about £10. Wow, absolute cracker.
Wow.
And we took
We took that to a restaurant to...
Nice
to cook for us.
Yeah, it was a vegetarian restaurant.
Yeah. It tastes a bit sweeter when you've caught it, I suppose it does.
Fresh.
Well,
I reckon.
Yeah.
It's like the thing is, what we're just discovering it, is as someone our age, it's just like it's a meditation fishing. To sit on a riverbank and 3 hours has gone without you realising is really valuable thing, at our age or in this day and age, as it were.
Will you keep it up, Bob? You think you
definitely? I've been fishing with Paul.
Yeah, we've been subsequently nothing to do with the show because it came out of real life, and luckily we've managed to, we don't hate each other. we still tolerate each other.
Brilliant. This third show is on tonight, isn't it?
Yes,
it is tonight at 10 o'clock.
And the other two, I'll be on the iPlayer. If people haven't, I'm going to be catching up. Certainly, I think other people will be as well around all the football. We're going to talk about the football in a moment with Paul and Bob, because we have, of course, Paul, who's a Tottenham fan, after the Spurs team are playing for England. And in Bob, we have the man who is managing the current England side, looked after his team, Borough. So we'll get their thoughts on England so far and what they made of... There was a last night's game. You see last night's game?
I didn't realise a game was on last night. that was my funny joke. It's not very funny, really, is it?
We'll fill you in on that one during the break. And we got clip from Fisherman Blues to play the lads. You said he was the Maradona, Keith Arthur. Kev the Toffee says he's the Hand of Cod.
I was going to say that, but I decided not to.
Okay, well, sorry about that, apparently. In his new not laughing policy, Kev, I'm afraid that died a death, sadly. Is that right? You're not going to laugh anymore? That's it. That's all I've got, really.
Well, I was going to say,
I didn't think I was going to be able to control it. So
careful what you wish for. That's because, 18 years, this formula has worked. Don't throw it away now, mate.
You've got a good point.
That's true.
I won't change it.
Carry on laughing.
I'll just carry on annoying myself and other people.
Anyway, Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse, we'll chat more in a few moments' time. Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse with us in the studio. Currently on BBC Two, we're Gone Fishing. Part 3 is on tonight. Rainbow Trout, and you can catch the first two parts. Tension Barbel, and they are available on the iPlayer. It's 10 o'clock tonight that goes out. And we'll talk more about the show and a bit more football in a moment. But first, fellas, we've got a clip from Fisherman's Blues. And it's not so much, it's a very tragic story, but it's just, it's the payoff from Nigel that I find quite interesting. So have a listen to this.
The angler was among hundreds of contestants at a match on the Sitaram River in Bandung, Indonesia, last Sunday afternoon. He hooked something large, but after wrestling with what he thought was a big fish, a dead man's hand pierced the surface. Oh, it sounds like something out of a horror film. He recoiled in horror, realising that the catch was actually the body of a man that had sunk to the bottom of the river. Police were called and helped to drag the body ashore. The man... Oh, dear. That is your worst nightmare, isn't it? It used to be a Wellington boot. I've never caught a Wellington boot.
I've never caught a Wellington boot. It's a dead man in the Sitaram River in Bandung, Indonesia, and he's never caught a Wellington boot.
Did he weigh him in, though? That's he could have won the match for that.
Yeah, that's true. We never found out, sadly. Fisherman's Blues back, of course, this Sunday at 6 a.m.
A mate of mine claimed he was fishing once. I can't remember what river it was. It was in Scotland, and he'd gone out early in the morning. He was fishing away, and he was concentrating, looking across the river, and he heard this cough. And he looked around, and there was a bloke floating down the river. He'd fallen in to get his attention, and he pulled him. He'd fallen in upstream.
Really?
Yeah. But I like the way he coughed. He didn't go, help! It was just a, I say. Sorry to bother you, old chap.
I'm fading, you know.
Very British, that, isn't it? Yeah. Now, Bob, you, because of Gareth's Borough links, you probably know Gareth a bit, don't you?
I've never met him.
Really?
The one thing I do remember is everyone associated with the club, who was close to the club, used to say, what a good laugh he was. And that people didn't, you know, he never showed that in his on-screen persona.
I've heard he's a really good motivational speaker as well. Somebody told me that. Yeah.
So, but never met him.
Really?
I used to hang around with Karanka. You know, we used to go clubbing together.
Oh, did you? Oh,
go out apple raiding and all that. But I know
there's some rhyming slang for you.
But never with Southgate, no.
Well, what about
I think Karanka will take Forrest up. I know that's...
You're a fan.
You're big mates with him, aren't you, with Karanka? Yeah.
No, not so much big, but he's a superb manager.
A bit defensive.
Yeah, he was a bit, wasn't he?
But Gareth's waistcoat has been causing a lot of...
Yeah, they love his waistcoats, don't they? So look, it's great to see the waistcoat back, isn't it?
Really? Has it been away? I thought most footballers and pundits wear them these days.
You always wear one under your shirt, don't you?
Yeah.
Never left it.
Nobody knew, Bob.
No, sales of this M&S waistcoat have...
Is it that particular one? So people are wearing it without, like he does, without the jacket. They're just wandering around in it.
Shot up 35%.
Really? You should maybe go down the old John Virgo route and sort of brighten them up a little bit.
That really works, though, doesn't it? Gareth buying his waistcoats from M&S.
Yeah, yeah. That's
really
fitting.
They've been in trouble, haven't they? So, you know what I mean? He could open his own shop, couldn't he?
Yeah. It could turn them around. Maybe they look, maybe get the figures come in. All the shareholders are desperate to have England to have a good run. There's a run of waistcoats. We're all wandering around with fob watches. But that'll be the next thing. We'll be swinging our watches, won't we?
They're the official suppliers, aren't they, of the England suit?
I think they are, yeah. They've gone down various routes. But
so you've been in Russia. You know, apparently the worst place on earth. Don't go there. We're all terrified. And it's just been
fantastic.
Best World Cup, and everybody's lovely.
Yeah, the people were. I mean, many of them, over a glass of vodka and stuff, would say that politics is politics, and you know, but we're just the average Joes like you are in the street, and this is our life. And you see, they just get on with their lives. They don't really engage in it a great deal. I mean, you know, there's... So you've got to kind of look at it on two levels, really. Yeah. But it was fantastic. It was a great experience.
We noticed, and we've done quite a few World Cups now, and we noticed that you always get the staples, but the Daily Star in particular, this chap, Jerry Lawton, every day basically published a scare story. So it would be deadly mosquitoes waiting for us, deadly...
Killer dogs.
Yep. Prostitutes, anything you can imagine.
Not killer prostitutes.
No, obviously.
Which is scariest, that lot, do you think?
Is it A?
But I've noticed that he's in Moscow himself, Jerry.
Wow.
So it'd be great if
he's
some
probably
of those...
He's in the hotel room.
He probably has it.
Guys, you've been there before? It's not a place you'd often go unless there was a World Cup. You've been to Russia?
I've been to Moscow once. A long time ago, I was going fishing, actually, in the Kola Peninsula, which is way up north, Murmansk, that way. But you had to fly into Moscow, overnighted there. Is that the right word, overnighted?
Yeah. It's good enough.
Is that a verb?
Yeah, I like it.
And we had a little boat trip up the Volga. And it was basic food, because this was 20-odd years ago.
Yeah.
It was sort of just about Glasnost time.
Yeah.
And the main food was basic, but loads of caviar.
Oh,
great. Nice. You know,
we didn't try any, did we?
We didn't try. A bit pricey, wasn't it?
We did try the Russian dumplings there, though. Yeah, quite heavy. Yeah.
They might have, if you do go back though, A, they might have you for death of Stalin. B, well, that'd be the phone. That's yeah, that's Putin asking not to come.
No, I'm so that's right. So embarrassing. Yeah, isn't it? No, my phone's always off.
You turned that off. That was a no look turn.
That was clever. He did it via his pocket.
God, that was and amazing.
I'm so embarrassed.
I'd have to get mine out, so I'll be fiddling with
so
it.
So they'll have you for death of Stalin. That sketch used to do with Harry Enfield, of course, when you were in the opening credits.
Yeah,
the opening
titles, wanted to do one where they wrote me out, so we went hurrah for Harry and.
And Bob, have you managed? Have you got there in the pub? Have you been to Russia before?
I've been to Russia. I've been to a few World Cups.
Yeah,
because a great thing. I mean, I'm pretty tempted to see if I can get there for Saturday. To be honest,
wow.
I shall have a look into that when I get home. Wife said I could.
Oh, that's good.
So you know, I'm thinking about it.
We didn't even check. Right. We turned our phones off as we started.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah,
I must have turned it on.
Shows how old we are.
Fantastic. Yeah, you can go there and go fishing again. Take your rods with you.
Well, look. Yeah. You know, don't tempt me. Yeah. But I was worried when I looked at you know the listings tonight. There's no football.
Yeah, no, well,
thankfully we're
it's
on.
It's good for the show. Yeah, it is good for the show. Because if it goes extra time and pens again, and you know, if you were on last night, you might have taken a bit of a coating. Yeah.
The only thing is, being on BBC Two, you have got a slight problem in as much as if one of these terrible tennis matches that we don't care about over against somebody over and goes on to a five-setter. You could be late.
Well, it could be true. Do you think, you know, everyone goes, oh, well, there's no characters left in the game. Tennis now.
Yeah.
But when McEnroe and Nastasi and people like that were involved, was it better or did we just think it was?
Probably. I don't know. Maybe the profile of those players was a bit higher. I mean, no, Andy Murray not being there this time has not helped, really. And no, the World Cup being on has made it not quite as interesting.
What a World Cup it is.
Yeah.
Well, it's great.
It's been sensational.
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
So I have to ask the question. I think I'm contractually obliged. Is it coming home, gents? Do you feel it's on?
I mean, I never
feel David and Frank are going to have another hit.
Yeah, they're going to bring it out again.
Let's hope not. We don't want them having a hit. Bob, can we knock something up quick?
Yeah.
The first two lines of singing in that song, of course, dear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great tune, but.
It is.
It's a great tune, though.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I never think we're going to win any match that England. I've got that head on, you know, I'm of that generation.
Mm. You feel a bit like that.
What's that?
You don't. You always worry watching England.
I don't enjoy watching England. No, I just it was painful last night, especially
last
in the nature.
Night was painful.
Equalising.
I didn't
second.
Like Colombia last night. I thought their tactics were horrible. I thought, I think it was Stuart Pearce this morning on Talksport, and he said Sweden, they're a dog of a team.
Yeah, but there's some truth in that.
We saw them against Germany last week or so ago, and they are a good side. You know, it's not going to be easy, but we should beat them. Yeah, we are better than them, I think, and we should beat them. So
we were saying to Paul, I think one of Sterling and Lingard
and Dele.
And Dele has got a turn up.
Yeah, that is key. Especially as they are, I think their centre-halves will do a job on Kane, but they'll try to. So they might keep him a bit quiet. So it's a chance
Your
for
Your point about
Sterling.
Kane's right as well.
I thought he was magnificent last night. I don't think he had anywhere to go half the time. He didn't have it, but he held the ball up so many. He drew so many fouls.
Oh, yeah. He did,
You know, I mean, it's not glorious, but he's very clever and play, I thought.
Very
fantastic.
Matt has said, Paul, a couple of questions, one for you, one for Bob. Paul, could you do your Dean Saunders impression, please?
I like this one.
Put me on the spot. Did he do what the manager said? Yes. Could he have got into the box a bit quicker? No. Has he eaten too many donuts? Yes.
That's okay.
He doesn't ask himself a question and then answer
he
it.
He does.
Yeah. I'm sure people could do it better, but that's my go, all right? On the spot.
He's also the king of the anecdote. So when we'll often go out for a beer afterwards, and then Dean will be sitting there to say this. Me, Emperor Claudius, and Jaime D. And they'll start telling these stories. Me, Pele, Bob Carroll, Jeez, Hitler, John Virgil in a pub. And they'll start a story like, and off he goes. He's got a million anecdotes.
He did it. Cracking joke he did about they identified the gene that causes obesity. She works in Greg's.
We spent so much time, didn't we, in this fishing show doing impressions of Talksport.
We did so much, didn't we? Yeah. We had to drive around and we had to be funny. You know, while we were being filmed, so we because all the shows, there's no script, it's all ad-libbed.
Yeah.
We did loads of stuff. We thought we were so funny.
What else in Talksport do you do?
Lots of Talksport.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. a lot of Talksport presenters. Anyway, not one bit of it was used.
Not one bit of it was used. We want to get the stuff that's on the cutting room floor. It could be a show just for us. Sounds brilliant. And Bob, questions come in from Brad. When's the next episode of Atletico Mince that you and Andy do? He eagerly awaits it.
Oh, I'm going to try and do one on Friday.
Brilliant. Okay, let's see. It's excellent. We do enjoy it.
Yeah, we like that.
Very, very good. Yeah. Guys, lovely to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Enjoy the rest of the World Cup. We hope you get out there, Bob. That sounds fantastic.
Well, I'm thinking,
good luck. I hope you can make it. And we'll catch up with you both soon. Good luck with the series as well. Gone Fishing, BBC Two, tonight, 10 o'clock. You've got no excuses. There's no football on. And the other two first episodes are available on the iPlayer. And then you've got... So it's six-parter, isn't it? So
it is, yeah. Yeah, we got next week. We're back in Norfolk after the Roach. Quite, even though I say so myself, probably the funniest.
It's funny one, isn't it?
Bob recreates a full head of hair for me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not bad compared to him.
Cheers, fellas. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Good to see you. So there we are. That was today. Great to see Bob and Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll sure watch you that.
Yeah, same here. We've got no football. We've got no football tonight, no football tomorrow.
So we'll take a deep breath. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow from 1 o'clock. Not here Friday. A little matter of France versus Uruguay. But we'll catch up with you then. Thanks for downloading us, as always.
David, the Villa fan. What do you want to say, mate?
Yeah. All I was going to say was, I'm surrounded by negativity for all the people. I can't actually speak, so carry on with your show.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.